This is Radio Influence.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
And welcome to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track. Hey, we're your weekly source for performance information. And listen, if you have any questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks, get to us. We love them all in good humor and also with the serious questions. There's not a message on any platform that we don't answer. And if we happen to miss it, please try again. But we answer every single message that comes across the board. To get to us, go to crushperformance.com. Hey, subscribe to our newsletter. We're just spreading the good word on human performance and all the latest research and all the great people we're hooked up to through our network. We all try to funnel it in there to keep you on the cutting edge of what it takes to be great. And you can also subscribe to our podcast. You can go to our website and subscribe to that as well and get tapped into our great list and lineup of guests and information that we bring to the airwaves each week here on Crush Performance. The email is info@crushperformance.com and on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Follow us. We're just, again, connecting everybody with the world of performance on all other social media platforms. Instagram, sharing some of the pictures and ideas that we're getting from around the world. Our YouTube channel, we're having a ton of fun. We're going to be starting to share some videos on there, short little Crush Performance notes, video style. So that's something new that's going to be coming up this fall. But also our animated features, which have been incredibly popular. Check it out on our YouTube channel as well. So you can search that out at Crush Performance. Today, ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to say we're back to the Crush War on Sugar. The war is raging on like ever before, and I'm telling you right now, I'm not sure, I'm not confident we're gaining ground at this point, but I think we're making headway in terms of our knowledge and raising the awareness of what's going on. Look, we all know what's going on, and the War on Sugar is dedicated to exactly that. Our concerns about obesity and overweight, our concerns about Alzheimer's and dementia and the links to our nutrition and our food sources and our daily diets, the links to cardiovascular disease, certain types of cancer. We know that there are many, many health issues related to our daily diet. And one of the big culprits that we've targeted here on the show is the consumption of sugar. A lot of it is unintentional. And if you look at some of the data that's out there, it's absolutely scary. If we go back to some of the data that we've shared on the show previously, going back to 1822, which is where I think the first real accurate records have been kept, the average adult consumed about 6.3 pounds of added sugar or extra dietary sugar per year. And that stuff that's outside the regular foods. We all know that there's sugar inside of fruits and vegetables and, you know, some of the foods we eat. But this is added sugar, stuff we'd add in like syrup and honey and table sugars and everything else in our diet. In 2015, the reports, depending on the source, were between 110 and 170 extra pounds. Now, wrap your brain around this if we're just to break it down. In 1822, we ate the amount of added sugar in one 12-ounce can of soda every 5 days. So the amount of sugar in your average soft drink every 5 days. That's way back in 1822. Today, we're consuming that every 7 hours. And we're paying the price. And we've seen it every single day on the news. Diabetes, Alzheimer's dementia, overweight obesity, general health issues like hypertension, cardiovascular disease, cancer, and for me, one of the biggest crimes, childhood obesity, childhood diabetes, and the fact that we're basically looking at a generation of kids who are going to have a shorter lifespan than their parents for the first time in human history. And that's what the Crush War on Sugar is all about. Today, a very, very powerful conversation as we lay it all out with Crush favorite Dr. Andoise Allen, Chief Biomedical Officer at the Glycemic Research Institute. We've been working with Dr. Allen for 17 years. In my opinion, There's nobody that understands this stuff better on the planet. Her presentation to the UN and her work with some of the top research centers in the world, I think, speaks volumes. But when you get her alone talking about the research and where we're at, it is fascinating. Today, we're going to talk about the work that her and I have done over the last 15 years. We met years and years ago, and I met her through my quest to help my professional athletes perform better and stay drug-free. We're going to lay it all out today. Where are we at? What do you need to be thinking about? And what should you be doing to maximize your performance if you're an athlete at any level, but maybe even more importantly, to protect your health and the health of your family? Stick around, everybody. A powerful Crush War on Sugar coming right up after this.
Hey, this is Bobby Sue Doyle-Hazard, host of Leveling the Playing Field, a podcast truly focused on women in the sports world. I'm so excited to bring this to you. It is for young women who are looking to get into the sports industry and women who are already in their careers, also looking to make a change. I want to put a spotlight on the amazing women that we have in sports now, and hopefully we can all learn a little something. Please make sure to subscribe to my podcast, Leveling the Playing Field, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and with my guys at RadioInfluence.com.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at CrushPerformance.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, kids, welcome back to Crush Performance. Jeff Crochelle here. We're your weekly source for performance information, and this is the Crush War on Sugar. We're kicking off the fall here with a very important conversation, looking at where we're at right now in terms of our knowledge in human biochemistry, in terms of diabetes, Alzheimer's, all of the health-related issues that are running side by side when it comes to obesity and our diet. It is a war, and unfortunately, collectively as a whole, we're losing the war. You know, I just got back from New Zealand, and they're facing the exact same issues. My first time down there, just a beautiful place, beautiful people. But watching the news in the mornings, they're talking about their concerns over Alzheimer's. They're initiating a sugar tax. They have the third highest obesity rate amongst adults. Serious issues on a small little island, but it's exactly the same everywhere. We've got to look out for ourselves, and I think that's what it comes down to. And you can't do it unless you know what you're doing. And if you look back over the years, where we've come from, way back in the 90s, if we go back to the Crush War on Sugar conversations, where the government changed the theme or changed the perspective of, you know, getting rid of fats, focusing on carbohydrates, that was a massive catastrophic shift in thinking, and it's led us down this path. Along the way, there's been some really, really great work done in terms of understanding obesity, why it's happening. We've had a lot of the world's top thinkers in this area on the show in the Crush War on Sugar. We're going to dedicate a page on the website to the War on Sugar, so stay tuned for that because it's just too important to ignore. But along the way, we've learned a lot of things. It's led us to where we're at today. And today, we're sort of at a point where we know what we need to do, but do we have the technology to do it? Well, we're joined today by Crush favorite, Dr. Andoise Allen, Chief Biomedical Researcher at the Glycemic Research Institute. Dr. Allen, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, glad to be here. We always have a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Doc, listen, it's been an interesting time in the world of human performance, and it's just been fascinating to me to see how quickly things go. I mean, if you look where we were 10, 15, even 20 years ago and where we're at right now, it's mind-boggling the advances we've made, not just in our understanding, but in terms of the science it's allowing us to work with the human body at a whole new level, don't you think?
Oh, my God, it's crazy. You know, if you look at how fast science is moving, especially in the fields of medicine and computer technology, I mean, every time I turn on the television, there's a new cell phone that does something else crazy. So it's just, it's phenomenal how fast we're moving. But in other subjects like physics, we're moving slowly because the universe doesn't like to give up its secrets, and it ain't just going to hand it to us, you know. It's going to make people like Einstein figure it out. So that's going at a very slow pace. I'm sure it drives Sheldon crazy. But other fields such as medicine, biochemistry, and computers are just flying. It's almost impossible to keep up.
Well, and you talk about the technology side as well. Technology is allowing us on the medical side and the human performance side push the boundaries as well. So these two are closely tied together, I think.
Yeah, it really is. And you in the different sciences, you have a choice. You either push forward and go, like they do at Harvard and Yale and, you know, NIH. They're pushing all the time to find new technologies for humans. And it's just amazing what's going on. So we're in that same boat. You know, I've been doing glycemic research for over 30 years. And what that really, what research does, okay, is it gives you a stepping stone into the next thing. So you're doing research and you go, oh my God, you're looking under the microscope, you're looking at blood, you're looking at hormone levels, and you go, oh my God, what's that? We haven't gone down that road. And then you have to turn and go down that road. You can't just stay on the same road. So the glycemic index was, you know, a stepping stone, a major, major stepping stone for future research. But that's what it was, a stepping stone, which led us down different pathways that turned out to be nothing less than amazing.
Yeah, and I agree, Dr. Allen. It's been an amazing time. And, you know, we talk about all the advances in technology. We look what cars can do right now. We have self-driving cars. We look at these trips.
I'm not going for that. I got
to tell you. I'm with you. Hey, I'm with you on that one for sure. It's still a little out there for me. But we're sending people to the moon. They're talking about Mars trips now. There's so many cool things going on in technology. But one of the biggest problems facing mankind, Dr. Allen, and I think you and I will both agree on this, we've got all this incredible, cool stuff going on, but our health is in jeopardy. The health of our population is, we're in dire, dire straits when we look at obesity, diabetes.
We've been on that pathway for a long time.
Yeah. But Doc, it seems that seems to be accelerating as well. And unless we turn this corner really, really soon, I think we're in big trouble. And a lot of what
Well, you know what? I tell you what, jump off a cliff and then try to stop halfway down.
Ah, well said.
Don't work. You keep falling.
Right. Well said.
Unless something stops you and changes your direction.
Right. Well, Dr. Allen, your work on the glycemic index and pushing that understanding of how the body works has kind of led us to where we are today. And you're right, we're turning a corner now. And it's really, really interesting to see where we're at in our thinking when it comes to how nutrition works in the human body. It's a whole new, I guess we've sort of hacked into it. It's a whole new era when we talk about understanding how the human body works in relationship to the food we're eating.
You said it exactly right. Hacking is the right word because we're talking about, you know, neural strategies. Humans are biological computers, okay? That's what we are. And our brains can learn. Our bodies don't learn, right? They don't learn. They just respond. But the brain can learn. And computers can be hacked, as you said. So our human biological computers are being hacked all day long by foods and beverages that create the wrong messages, like non-burnable carbs. So I always like to say, I'll tell you what, why don't you drink black coffee all day long and see how that works for you at the end of the day, okay? Because caffeine and black coffee is not a fuel. Caffeine is not a fuel. It is an agent that programs the body to do a specific thing, right?
Right.
Well, you do that all day long and then tell me if you don't, you know, if you're not jittering out the window of your car or your wife is hitting with you a fly swatter going, shut up. What is the matter with you? Because, your blood sugar and all of your body responses are going to go up and down. But there's no utilizable or burnable carbs in that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. We're talking with Dr. Anduise Allen, one of the world leaders in terms of nutrition, human biochemistry, and human performance. Dr. Allen, you know, I like what you said right there. And caffeine's a really, really classic example because I think, you know, based on what people think we're doing for our bodies and our performance and what we actually try to do is a very, very conflicting messages. And in the world of nutrition, we're sending conflicting messages all the time right now based on what's available and what we're putting in our bodies.
That you're exactly right. A good example is people who go on this keto thing or drink keto drinks or go on ketogenic diets or ketogenic sport drinks. And I'm going, are you people insane? Okay, read a freaking chemistry book because that's really bad fuel sourcing. Really bad. It's a bad choice to source the body with fuel. That's, you know, that's another example of hacking, of bad hacking.
Bad hacking. Like that's a mistake hack right there. It goes the other way.
You know, you go into computers and, you know, you access the government computers and, you know, you take their electronic information. I mean, look at what you hear in the news all the time. People are stealing mailing lists. They're getting into our voting capabilities, right, and responses. It's just crazy. Well, the human brain, as I said, is a biological computer, okay? The brain can learn, but the body can't learn. So what you have to do is to combine what the brain wants and can learn and have a non-conflicting but compensating response from the body. So those two messages have to be the same. What you're telling your brain, what you're telling your body, okay? Because what we know about the glycemic index, as I said, is a stepping stone. That's just one tiny part. But we're talking about all of the cascading of hormones and triggers and brain triggers, which we never knew about. Hey, we didn't know anything about no brain triggers.
Right.
We didn't know that the brain could override the body's messages. We didn't know what the brain was capable of. So if you're not having a conversation that is brain-friendly and body-friendly, what you have is a conflicting message, and that is not perfection in sports performance, okay? The further you go away from that, away from having the same message, which, you know, we're calling strategic nutrition and targeted nutrition, if you don't have the same response going to the brain and the body, you're in a world of trouble if you're looking for performance.
Yeah.
If you're driving by hot donuts right now, okay, and you pull in and you eat 50 donuts on the way home, which I've seen my husband do, my God, and then...
They're hot donuts. They're hot donuts, though.
Right, they're hot donuts. Yeah. You know, really, who cares? You come home, you sit on the sofa, you watch a football game.
Yeah.
Who cares? Who cares, right?
Right.
But if you're an athlete, oh, yeah, you care. It's like, you know, the NFL. And I say NFL as opposed to just football because that's elite sports, right?
Right.
And they better perform. They better remember the guy that walked out on the football, off the football court and went, nope, can't do it. I'm leaving, which is pretty spectacular, okay? But if those football players are out there, okay, on the field, right, and they all have conflicting messages, right, and then the quarterback thinks he's supposed to do one thing and everybody else thinks they're supposed to do something else, how's that work out?
Right.
That don't work.
No.
It's the same thing with the body.
Right.
If you want your body, I mean, we can go from simple weight gain, diabetes, obesity. We can go that route, which is all affected by how you program your biological computer and the fuel that you put in there, the burnable fuel. Okay. That's all, you know, one thing. But if we're talking about professional sports, they do not joke around. So if you have a sports drink that has a conflicting message or no message, right?
Right.
That ain't good. Why would you not have a sports drink that has a strategic message to the brain and the body that matches so you can get ultimate sports nutrition out of what you're eating or drinking?
Oh, I really, really like this whole concept. Targeted nutrition, I think, is the wave of the future, no question. But the problem is nobody really knows how to do it, at least not in the big picture. But, Doc, you're so right.
No, I wouldn't say nobody does.
Yeah, right. We've been working on something special here. I agree. I know. I'm getting to that for sure. We'll unveil this. Hey, we've been working hard, everybody. We have been working hard. Dr. Allen and I met 18 years ago when I was on a quest to help keep my athletes off of drugs. I was looking for solutions, and Dr. Allen's name kept coming up and coming up. I remember, Doc, in our first meeting, man, that's 17 years ago in St. Petersburg, Florida. We were sitting in a restaurant down by the water, and you asked me, Jeff, what do you need? And I remember saying to you, Dr. Allen, I have my professional baseball players. I'm working with professional football players. I got basketball guys, golfers, endurance runners. I said, but we treat them all the same when it comes to the nutrition we put in their bodies. And I said, it's driving me nuts. It makes no sense to me. I said, does it make sense or is it possible to key in and deliver specific nutrition for these different athletes? And your answer was, of course, yes. That's almost 20 years ago, Dr. Allen.
Yeah, we have really gone leaps and bounds since then. Is that we knew it. It's like, okay, we knew it was there, right? You know that Jupiter's there, but have you ever been to Jupiter?
Right.
No, but you know that it's there. So we were looking for these obtuse planets in the body going, okay, we see that something wacky's going on here by the blood work, the hormones, the cascade of events that take place in the brain and in the body. And we're going, but what is it? What's making it happen? Well, if you look at what we really need to be looking at in a sports drink, it's a burnable carb, okay, mm-hmm. which means you can utilize it. And as I said, an example of non-burnable carbs would be ketogenesis or caffeine. But there are many, many more. Artificial sweeteners, okay, are not burnable carbs, okay? So really a burnable carb in a sports drink has to do with the speed and efficacy of a sports performance molecule, the molecule that triggers the burnable carbs to be utilized by the brain and the body. That's the real flux capacitor.
That's the name of the game. And it all ties back into those conflicting messages. If we know how a baseball player works or how an NFL, we know how to build these athletes. But if we're sending conflicting messages in terms of the nutrition, we're not even close to human maximum performance, Doc. But we're opening that door right now, aren't we?
We're going the opposite way.
Right.
If you look at the sports drinks, and I'll tell you what, I would challenge anybody that's listening today to call into the station, and I want you to look at your sports drink or look at any drink, okay? But look at whatever sports drink you use and tell me how the fuel partitioning, okay, on strategic nutrition works. You tell me how the sugars or the artificial sweeteners or the electrolytes or whatever, how do they coordinate? How do they work? Which are burnable carbs? Which are utilizable? Which gives one message? I'd love you to call in and tell me that.
I agree.
Because you know what, Crusher?
Yeah.
Here's how it goes. The brain is a master creator and is involved in the creation of key code fuels because it supplies operational control of energy expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about that. The brain supplies operational control of energy expenditure. That's fuel partitioning. That is called fuel partitioning. So the amount of the fuel and the form of the fuel that actually is accepted by the brain is what is key here. What in your sports drink is a utilizable fuel partitioning fuel? Please call in if you have the answer, okay? I mean, we do know the answer, but I want to see how many of you have ever really thought about that. What is a retrievable energy and fuel in a sports drink?
Dr. Allen, you're so right. And I think it really starts with our understanding of how the calories work. I think there's a really big misunderstanding out there in general as to what a calorie is. A calorie is not a calorie. And it goes back to that concept you talked about of targeted nutrition falling right into burnable carbohydrates, which is a new word in the marketplace right now. It's the future of sport performance. But I think we got to let people know and understand that, hey, a calorie is not a calorie. It depends where it comes from and how it reacts with the body.
You're exactly right. We used to believe, okay, I mean, it's in every chemistry book that a calorie is a calorie. And then all of a sudden, science progressed. I mean, Harvard, Yale, some of the major publications, a calorie is not a calorie. Now, when Harvard and Yale say a calorie is not a calorie, you got to believe it.
Right.
Of course, I've read all the data and memorized it, but, you know, and that's part of our research. But it's not. You're totally right. The amount of the fuel and the form of the fuel is key in fuel partitioning, okay? So with a limited amount of storage space, right? There's a limited amount of storage space for certain fuels. Glucose molecules, for example, have a limited amount of storage space. So when I see drinks with a lot of glucose in it and glucose polymers, I'm like, oh, what are you people doing? Okay? Because if you only have glucose without an overriding message, here's why you're in trouble. With a limited amount of storage space for glucose. So you got to remember that. Glucose has a limited amount of storage space. A sports drink should not contain fuels that have a limited amount of storage space. So glucose molecules, because they only have a limited amount of storage space, this is what I'm talking about, a calorie is not a calorie, right?
Okay. Right.
Let's just look at glucose. I'll make a perfect point for you. Glucose molecules, because of their limited storage space, actually turn into fat, which is not retrievable for energy or fuel. Think about that. That's crazy. So what the liver does, it will take glucose drinks, okay, and people are just guzzling them down, and convert that to fat for long-term storage. But it can't be retrieved for energy again. It's not accessible.
Right.
Think about that. At that point, the glucose molecules are forever turned into fat and cannot be used again as glucose. How many people that drink glucose drinks know that?
Yeah, very few. And as a matter of fact, I would say that the energy drink and sport drink market is based on that misleading principle. I guess that's the best way to put it.
And they're not really, I wouldn't say, oh, this is a plot. They're doing it on purpose. They just don't understand glucose-dependent insulinotropic polypeptides, GIP, GLP-1, and GLP-2. Okay? They clearly haven't read that research.
Right.
Okay? And this is crazy, because then when they put an artificial sweetener in it, it actually reduces the body's control of blood sugar, not only leading to type 2 diabetes and obesity, but total chaos in the body. Okay? We have intestinal sensors for sugars and artificial sweeteners. There are intestinal sweet taste receptors and other types of receptors which set absorptive capacity in humans, okay? That's probably going into too much, but what it runs into is the cascades that I'm talking about is glucose infusion, insulin production, gut hormones, and glucose-dependent insulinotropic peptides. So if they haven't read that research, they don't know what they're doing.
Oh, such great stuff, Dr. Allen. You know, it sounds very technical, but in the big picture, everybody, it's quite simple. We're going to get down to it. We're going to break it down some more right after this, Dr. Allen. If you're okay, hanging on over this break. We got to cut out right here, everybody. Stick around. More Dr. Allen and more War on Sugar right after this. Support for Crush Performance comes from Flavonaturals, a brand changing the way people think about and consume chocolate. You've probably heard that the cocoa flavanols found in dark chocolate promote brain function, heart health, and exercise performance. But did you know you'd have to eat at least 5 typical dark chocolate bars a day to match the flavanols used in many of the studies? And we all know that too much of a good thing, well, can be a bad thing. So when it comes to chocolate, you have to give Flavonaturals chocolate a try. Flavonaturals harnesses the power of nature with a line of breakthrough decadent chocolate bars and cocoa powder with an amazing 500 to 900 milligrams of naturally sourced cocoa flavanol antioxidants per serving. It's made from all natural ingredients and contains 5 to 9 times the cocoa flavanols of a typical dark chocolate bar. They do this by starting with some of the highest antioxidant cocoa beans in the world and preserving flavanols using an all-natural preparation method. And just as important, the Flava Bars and Flava Mix taste fantastic. The Flava Bars come in 6 mouth-watering flavors that are all amazing, but I really do dig the roasted almond and Himalayan pink salt. And the Flava Mix is unsweetened and perfect to mix with yogurt. My wife has been making mochas and my daughter's been using it to make cookies. I personally like it in my smoothies and recovery drinks, and you can too. Go to flavanaturals.com today to learn more and enter the discount code CRUSH, K-R-U-S-H, for 20% off your next order. That's Flava, F-L-A-V-A, naturals.com, and discount code CRUSH. It expires December 31st, so get after it. Chocolate might have been your weakness, but with Flavonaturals, it's your strength.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at crushperformance.com.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. The Crush War on Sugar rages on today as we talk with Crush favorite Dr. Andrew Allen. Chief Biomedical Officer at the Glycemic Research Institute out of Washington, D.C. Fantastic discussion today so far, Dr. Allen. And I know we got a little technical at the end of the last segment there, which is fantastic, because if you really get deep down into the science here, it is absolutely fascinating. For all of our listeners, everybody, don't worry about it. You don't have to go there, because we do go there. We're going there to make sure that we really understand what's going on, and we're sharing it with you guys here today. Doc, you know, coming off that last part of our conversation there, what it really comes down to, simply put, is making sure you're getting the right food, the right fuel sourcing, getting the right fuel for what you're trying to do. There's a massive disconnect there, and making sure that you source your fuels properly to get the proper utilization for what you're trying to do. Simply, that's the key to everything right now, don't you think?
And here's what we learned that drove us crazy, okay, and set me on a different path, and that's where I ended up on the sports radio here, which is the official Tampa Bay Bucks channel. And they made me go down there and do a four-hour live show on you know, this breaking research, because it has to do with athletes, it has to do with sports, on fuel utilization. And what drove us crazy was when we found out that artificial sweeteners made you fatter than regular sugar, okay? And that they went through the brain and did something weird, something really weird. Well, that's when I turned my channel, okay? That's what we say. The glycemic index led to another step up of, wait a minute. What are carbohydrates and fuel, different types of fuel, whether utilizable or burnable, what are they doing to the brain? Well, we didn't know the brain was so darn picky. The brain was like, I don't like that. I'm not going to do that. You're not going to make me do that. And we thought, wait a minute. The brain is being Mr. Prissy Pot, because the brain is overriding the body's messages and going, nope, don't like it, not going to do it. Okay? So the brain independently, this is what drove us crazy. You drink a drink with an artificial sweetener in it, just say a diet, some kind of a diet soda. I won't name any names, even though we did the research, but I won't name the names.
Right.
Because I'll get sued, okay? But not good. Not good at all. As Custer said at his last stand, not good at all.
Not good at all.
So when I did that live four-hour podcast, and I had on there my fellow researchers from NIH, Johns Hopkins, and a few other universities that were there to back me up. We all three of us did the call. So I called them up and I said, hey, guys, called up Johns Hopkins. He said, you want to be on a call today? What's it about? It's about brain glycemic indexing and artificial sweetener. Sure, put us on. So we did 4 hours of that, and people were calling in going crazy, because what we found out was that you can have an artificial sweetener, but the brain itself is going to go, oh, no, you know what? I don't like that. I'm not liking it. It's, you know, 1,400 times sweeter than sugar, so guess what I'm going to do? Now, the body doesn't do this. The body just goes, oh, artificial sweeteners, not burnable for fuel, not utilizable. Just, you know, go ahead, process it, and then let's just pee it out. Okay, fine. We can't use it. That's fine. Okay, but the brain goes, oh, no. You trying to trick me up in here? You trying to do something that's 500 to 1,400 times sweeter than sugar? Well, I'm going to fix you. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to spill and put out so much insulin that you'll probably have diabetes by tomorrow. And that's how we found out,
right,
that artificial sweeteners in drinks or sports drinks or sodas, diet sodas, were a basic tragedy in terms of utilizable fuel. Okay, they're good. I drink diet soda. I like it. But, you know, I put some ice cream in mine because that's a utilizable fuel. So, in fact, it's pretty good that way. It's like a
the old
Coke float.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, it's like a Coke float. Yeah. So, you know, what we found out and talked about on that four-hour call was that the brain overrides the body because it's smarter.
Right.
It's smarter, and it says, oh, no, you don't. You ain't tricking me. Nope. So I'm going to spill insulin. Insulin is the death hormone. Insulin, keep spilling it, and you will get type 2 diabetes and obesity from something that has no calories. So as you said, a calorie is not a calorie, okay? So an artificial sweetener can act like a calorie to the brain.
Right. And Doc, so we got to go back to this whole thing. We got to get away from this idea of getting away of thinking about what's in it. It's not about what's in it. It's about what it does. That's the key, right?
And what does it do?
Exactly. And that's the whole premise behind targeted nutrition and burnable carbs and understanding that the brain is ruling this entire game. That's what's missing in the big picture.
You got it. Crusher, you got it so well. And that's what freaked us out. We were like, wait a minute. You eat or drink something, and then the message goes to the brain, and the brain's going to go, I can use that fuel. That's good. Give me that, right? Or it says, I'm going to store it as fat, or I'm going to put out insulin because this is crazy, overly sweet, or overly high glycemic. It can do all kind of things to sabotage. Now, the brain doesn't know it's sabotaging. It's just doing what it does. Because if you sit down and eat 50 pounds of sugar, you got to have insulin.
Right.
So the brain goes, okay, we got to put out massive amounts of insulin. All right, that's all well and good until you start spilling insulin, the death hormone, into the body, causing diabetes, obesity, and what we know is exacerbating Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. Not good at all.
No. Not good. So what we have to do, ultimately, is hack into the brain and break that code. We got to break that code.
You got it.
Right?
You got it.
We got to decode it.
You're exactly right. And what we're calling this is key coding.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what we're calling it.
Yep.
Key coding. So the objective in key coding is to code every single food, beverage, whatever, to say, okay, what is the underlying key code to the message given by this food or beverage, right? Now, we'll talk about sports drinks. So if you can create a specific key code fuel for a sports drink, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got it made.
Right.
Because then you have strategic and targeted nutrition. Otherwise, it's a turkey shoot.
I like
it. What are you drinking?
Yep.
What are you drinking? I want you to call us up at the station today and tell me the targeted message of your sports drink.
Doc, this is the key to everything right here. And, you know, it's been fun working with you and the science team. We've been working on beverages to align the beverages to performance, to get away from this conflicting messages, because we work so hard in the physical training, the mental training, the technical tactical side, but we're derailing it with all of this false nutrition that we're putting into it. And I can't wait till these two worlds align, and it's coming. It's coming so close. Key coding is such a big part of the future of human performance and health.
And that's why you were such a crucial part of this research team, okay? Because nobody, as far as I'm concerned, as a research scientist, nobody on this planet knows more than Jeff Crishell about how to take an athlete to maximum performance physically. Nobody but nobody, okay? And we needed that data. We needed that feedback from the Crusher, okay? He's brilliant. He won't tell you that. He's the best of the best on this planet, okay? And people are fighting over him. They are literally fighting over him to come lecture and teach them. So if he takes an athlete, what country did you just come back from?
So listen, it's interesting, Doc, because I just came back from New Zealand, and I'll just lay out a couple stats about New Zealand here. Fascinating. I got to meet with the rugby world there, which is huge. Talked to some of the cricket people, their Olympic diving programs, and some other sports, but it was really focusing on helping them develop their baseball culture there as well. But interesting stats about New Zealand right now. They're just in the process of instituting the first sugar tax there because they've got massive obesity issues. They're very concerned about dementia and Alzheimer's, and they're trying to get in ahead of this in the long game. They're behind already, and they have the third highest adult obesity rates in the modern world. So some of the challenges they're facing right there, it's right with the rest of the world. And Doc, I got to tell you, I really appreciate those accolades for sure. I'm glad that I found you guys, because in our search for helping athletes perform at their absolute highest level, there's been a missing link, and working with you guys has really shone a lot of light on that. So this has just been a match made in heaven.
You're right. You're absolutely right. It's when two areas of research collide, and it's been an amazing thing. We couldn't have done it without you. You couldn't have done it without us, but we needed both of those inputs, all of that data input. and to create key code fuels. So, you know, what Jeff Kreshel and I and our research team has put together is, for over 2 years now, we've been researching how to specifically create, which was not easy, and to produce key code fuels. Now, those key code fuels can be dialed in football, baseball, all sports, no matter what it is. Hockey, you know, we were having a conversation about how different fuels utilized differently by different athletes. Well, you know, you can't take one of the things we learned really back in the 80s was, if you feed a bodybuilder and a powerlifter the same type of a protein drink that you would, say, a long distance runner, you got a world of problems.
Yes.
They can't utilize that fuel. They're standing there lifting weight, which is taking strength, okay? Bodybuilders and powerlifters and golfers. You know, I created the first Key Code Fuel golf drink.
Yep.
And all we did was research with it, you know, with the Masters Tournament and the top professional golfers. We got some really good data out of that, of that they were able to hit the ball amazing lengths accurately. I mean, it was just... We saw hole-in-one at 375 yards, just crazy stuff from changing their fuel source. So what we were talking about that kind of makes it simple is, you cannot take an elephant and feed him what a lion would eat and then take the lion and give him what the elephant would eat. You know, a giraffe has a long neck for a reason. It's evolved that way. It's speciesization, it's evolution to eat the leaves at the top of the trees. Why? Because they're the ones with the best fuel for that species, for a giraffe. The last thing he's going to eat is bushes on the ground and things like that, because what's closest to the sun at the top of the tree has the most utilizable fuel. So if you take an elephant and you give him a lion's diet and vice versa, it's going to crash and burn.
Yeah.
So why would we do that with athletes?
Exactly, Dr. Allen. That's a great analogy for our athletes. And this doesn't just mean elite athletes. This just goes right down to recreational weekend warriors, our young developing athletes, people who are just out trying to get healthy. This is human physiology. We're just really focusing on matching up high performance, because we learn so much in the high performance world. Matching high performance nutrition with our high performance training, and the outcomes have been unbelievable, unimaginable.
And the answer is key code fuels, creating key code fuels. I really think in the future that's going to just be standard operational processes for designing foods and beverages. It has to. We don't have anywhere else to go. We know what's causing obesity and diabetes, and we know what's causing reduced sports performance and sports drinks. We have clinical answers over years and years and years of research, not just ours, but NIH and Johns Hopkins and Yale, and you can't believe the amount of data that's out there that backs up what we say, okay? If you look at research right now, I think one of the craziest things I've ever heard, and it happened this week, this is to show you how fast technology is moving, is Japan, and they are really into high-tech research, okay? Mm-hmm. They're focused. I spent 5.5 years in Asia and lectured, you know, for 5.5 years at the Tokyo Convention Center. And those Japanese people, I'm telling you, man, they are focused, okay? They are there to get it done. And what they did this week, which just makes me crazy, is they created nanobots, sort of. They created rovers, like a nanobot rover, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was they launched two of them into space so that they could intersect an asteroid. Okay, you know what? An asteroid is not sitting still, right? Going, la, 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 la. I'm just sitting here on a stick. No, asteroids are moving at a high velocity. And the Japanese created these little nano robots, rovers, that they intersected with an asteroid and it dropped it on the surface of an asteroid. Okay, right there, I'm telling you that Einstein would say, he would turn in his grave and go, that's not going to happen. That's impossible. You cannot intersect with an asteroid hurtling through space and drop some, you know, electronic equipment down on it. Now, this equipment is sitting on the asteroid, having a nice little ride and transferring the data back to Japan. That makes me crazy.
Wow.
Number two, I'm a frustrated physicist because that's what I wanted to be, to study quarks, you know. But we do study quarks in our research in foods and beverages. Who knew that you could study subatomic particles in food? But that's what we're doing. Okay, so now the next thing Japan does is they have announced that they created nanobots that eat cancer cells. If you go to glycemic.com, you'll see that for 10 years we have preferred that theory that nanobots would be created in the future that would be able to eat cancer cells, and now the Japanese have done it. What is that going to mean to cancer and medicine? I hope it's going to mean a major cure, and I mean cure, because if you can insert a nanobot into the body and it just goes around eating all the cancer cells, that's amazing.
Wouldn't that be something? And this is why we just can't rule out what the future holds. And I'm so, so glad, Dr. Allen, that we're here right now and that everybody's been doing all this incredible work that's led us down this road. Because, you know, I guess the premise at the start of the, let's go back to the sport drink industry, the premise at the start was to provide energy to athletes and help them hydrate better with the greatest of intentions. But now we're starting to see how wrong that really was. And once we realize how wrong it was, we've been digging and grinding for solutions. This isn't just about hydration. This isn't about just delivering sugars. This is about targeted nutrition. Such an exciting time in the world of human performance, for sure. And technology is leading us down this road.
And you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because what drives me crazy is when, you know, I talk to an athlete and I go, he'll bring in a sport drink and it's sitting on the desk. I go, why are you drinking that? And he goes, hydration. I go, you know what? Go outside and get a garden hose and stick it in your mouth. That's hydration.
Right.
Okay, you want to get hydrated? If it's wet, it's hydrating. What else is it doing? And then they'd look at me and go, I don't know.
Right.
No. No, because the people that created the drink don't know.
Right. Right. There's a huge difference between hydrating and delivering fuels for performance. And this is where we're at, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Allen, listen, we are virtually out of time here. Such a fantastic discussion today. Time just flies when we're with you, but such a great discussion today. Listen, I can't wait to have you on the show again. Thanks so much for your time today. But such an exciting time.
It really is. Lots of fun.
And there you have it, everybody. The no BS version of what we know today. It's accumulation and an extension of everything that's brought us to where we are today. And there's some great people working behind the scenes to push it all forward. But today, I think we really, really wrote the script for what needs to be done if we're going to curb all of the things that are going on in terms of our general health. And most certainly for our athletes, their performance, as we look for ways to push human performance through nutrition and our daily choices. And honestly, that's what it comes down to. Dr. Allen, got to thank Dr. Allen again for coming on the show. Just fantastic stuff. Of course, I've been working with her and the science team there for almost 17 years now since we first met in a quest to find answers. And I just really wanted it for my athletes and my family now. And now I want it for everybody out there, and that's sort of what's led us here today. So listen, if you have any questions about this or any comments, get to us. CrushPerformance.com is the website. Info@CrushPerformance is the email. We'll answer your questions about this show. Pass it on to your friends, your family, your teammates, your coworkers, because today, in this episode of the Crush War on Sugar, I think we've really set the tone for what needs to happen next. We're going to follow up with this as we head into the fall here and into the new year as well, because I think we have a real clear idea based on all the work that's been done and all the research we've done collectively as a group here at Crush Performance. We've got a really good idea of what needs to happen next. So I hope you guys took a lot out of this show. I want to thank Dr. Allen again. Got to thank the con man as well. And I want to thank everybody for listening. Again, if you have questions, comments, get to us on the website. Follow us on Twitter @JeffCrush, on all other social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, and our YouTube channel. Check it out. Ton of fun there. Search Crush Performance. All right, everybody. That's the show for today. We'll talk to you next time on Crush Performance. Now get out there and get better. Talk to you next week.
Don't forget to ride. I'm Jerry Petuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.